From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This particular book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text comes from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. In every believer's heart, there is a constant struggle between the old nature and the new. The old nature is very active and loses no opportunity of plying all the weapons of its deadly armory against newborn grace. While, on the other hand, the new nature is ever on the watch to resist and destroy its enemy. Grace within us will employ prayer and faith and hope and love to cast out the evil. It takes unto it the whole armor of God and wrestles earnestly. These two opposing natures will never cease to struggle so long as we are in this world. The battle of Christian with Apollyon lasted 3 hours, but the battle of Christian with himself lasted all the way from the wicket gate to the River Jordan. The enemy is so securely entrenched within us that he can never be driven out while we are in this body. But although we are closely beset, and often in sore conflict, we have an almighty helper, even Jesus, the captain of our salvation, who is ever with us, and who assures us that we shall eventually come off more than conquerors through him. With such assistance, the newborn nature is more than a match for its foes. Are you fighting with the adversary today? Are Satan, the world, and the flesh all against you? Be not discouraged nor dismayed. Fight on! For God Himself is with you. Jehovah Nissi is your banner, and Jehovah Rophi is the healer of your wounds. Fear not, you shall overcome, for who can defeat omnipotence? Fight on, looking unto Jesus, and though long and stern be the conflict, sweet will be the victory, and glorious the promised reward. From strength to strength go on, wrestle and fight and pray. Tread all the powers of darkness down, and win the well-fought day.
Sound forth and let joy.
Over the years since Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many people have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the Epistle to the Colossians as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Wonderful Redemption. Our text is chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns first emphasized that the theme of redemption is what ties the entire biblical revelation together. As set forth in the Old Testament, redemption involves a recovery either of property or of persons by the expenditure of efforts and/or a redemption price. Although Adam was created perfectly righteous in every way, his deliberate choice to rebel against God's command corrupted the bias of his will and plunged the entire human race into the bondage of sin. Only a divine remedy could reverse this catastrophe, and it was found in the sacrificial work of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
When you think of the redemption of property, you could think of Ruth, the book of Ruth, and how Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, redeemed his kinsman's property, and actually, in the providence of God, thereby safeguarded the line of Messiah. It's a very important book, the book of Ruth. If you want to study it carefully and spiritually, you will find that the key to Ruth, the whole book, the key to it, is the theme of redemption, the person, the work, the role, the love, the commitment, the payment, the engagement, the covenant of the kinsman redeemer. This is the book of Ruth. Or, of course, you could take the case of Jeremiah, chapter 32 of his book, where he, as the kinsman redeemer, purchases the property of his kinsman that is forfeited. And, of course, there's tremendous prophetic significance in that action of the prophet. But those are two outstanding examples. But perhaps even towering above those, you have the statements of Leviticus 25 regarding the year of Jubilee. You remember in Israel, there were seven periods of 7 years. And then the 50th year was the year of release, the year of redemption, the year of Jubilee. And in Leviticus 25, verses 24 to 27, we read, "In all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession." Now, I've read those three or four verses and taken the time to do so that you would get the message. There must be, and there was built into the whole legal system of Israel, this provision that land, property, inheritance, for remember, property in Israel outside the walled cities was inherited property. It may be traded, it may be purchased by one and another, but it could not pass out of the inheritance of the tribe or of the family. And in the year of Jubilee, it had to revert to its original owners. Remember that that's the background here. And the Lord is teaching that if through poverty or folly or whatever, a person or a family forfeited their inheritance, yet it had to be capable of redemption, and in the year of the great release, it had to go back without money, without price. It had to revert because there had to be a redemption for the land. Now, why did the Lord so emphasize that. Well, remember what I said. These ideas in the Old Testament are the cargo that the term redemption carries in the New Testament. And they are teaching us that the very essence of redemption, first of all, has to do with us as people, bringing us out of slavery. And then it has to do with us as those who have lost their inheritance. And that inheritance has been recovered, purchased back for us, restored to us by our kinsman Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now those are huge terms. If I get into them in any detail, it will not take a Sunday, but a whole lot longer for us to get into them. You will have heard it said, I'm sure, again and again, and I'm not going to belabor the point this morning, that when you come to the New Testament term for redemption, it is a pictorial term. It paints the picture of us as slaves in a slave market. It paints the picture of Christ the Redeemer entering into the slave market. And that gives you a whole new aspect of the doctrine of the Incarnation, where he came and why he came. The third element in the picture is of his paying the price to release the slave. All that is in the Word. But what I'm saying to you today is that when you factor in what the Old Testament teaches, it goes even beyond that. Yes, it's true. He has delivered us out of the slavery of our sin. He's brought us out of that. But he has also recovered our lost inheritance. And here you have two texts that I would strongly urge you to consider in detail. One is Colossians 3, verse 10, and the other is Ephesians 4, verse 24. They are, of course, parallel books, and these are parallel texts. Ephesians 4, verse 24 says that the new man after God was created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3, verse 10 says the new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. When you put those two texts and the terms they employ together, you get a picture first of the inheritance we had in Adam, going back before the fall, created, I want you to get these terms, in righteousness, in holiness, and in knowledge. Genesis adds, with dominion over the creatures. And that's where our complete catechism definition comes from. But this is how the Lord created Adam. This is the inheritance that was originally mankind's in Adam, created in righteousness and holiness with knowledge. Now those are three immense theological terms. They open up vast areas for consideration. Do not confuse righteousness and holiness. Righteousness is always a legal term. It is a term of the acceptance of our character and our person by a righteous God. He created us righteous, that is. And I want you to remember what we learned when we were studying the law and the Ten Commandments. That these were not first given on Mount Sinai, but God revealed his law and wrote it on the heart of Adam at his creation. And when God created Adam, he created him in a state of absolute righteousness, by the standard of His law. But then holiness is a different term. This speaks, you'll have to take my word for a sort of an overarching statement here. This is not a theology lecture. If you want to get into the details, go to Mr. Braham and he'll be glad to take you into his theology class. But holiness deals with the bias of the heart and the will. There is this crazy notion among especially Arminians that when God created man, He created him in a state of equilibrium. Oh, he was perfect, but he was perfectly balanced between good and evil. And he could as easily choose the one as choose the other. And that is just simply not the state of affairs when God created man. God created man holy. That is, with his entire nature positively biased to holiness. Holiness, if I could make this statement, holiness was easy for Adam. It was his nature. Sin was difficult. In order for Adam to sin, it took such a willful decision as wrecked the entire moral bias of his nature. How did God create man? With what an inheritance? In what a state? Righteous and holy and with knowledge. I don't think we can even begin to plumb the depths of that. There is in the book of Genesis evidence of a great knowledge of the natural creation in Adam. There is in Genesis the evidence of a tremendous knowledge of God. I can't give you the details, but I can say this. Adam so far surpassed anything in his unfallen state, anything that anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ has ever known since, that we can hardly even relate to it. Adam could not consider one speck of the whole created universe without making the immediate connection to the Creator. He saw God. He understood. I don't mean he comprehended God in his fullness, but I mean he understood, he knew the revelation of God with a clarity and a fullness that we cannot begin to imagine. Now do you see something of the awful horror of the fall? Because by the fall he lost his righteousness and came under condemnation of that law of God. By his fall he lost his holiness, and the bias of human nature is now selfish, not Godward. It is sinful, not holy. He replaced a holy bias with a wicked, evil, sinful bias so deeply ingrained in human nature that short of the miracle of regeneration, no man can will to do spiritual good that is pleasing to God. And of course, his understanding was darkened. And you have man the fool who can say there is no God, or live like there's no God, who can look at the heavens and shrug his shoulders. Though they declare the glory of God, he sees nothing of it. Though God is revealed in every speck of his creation, they have no knowledge of him. What a lost inheritance. Slaves who have forfeited everything But Christ is the Redeemer. And in his redemption, he recovered the slaves. Ah, but he also recovered what they had lost in Adam.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.